Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, here's the question for you, and it's a deep one. Are you ready? Are you comfortable in your own skin? Are you comfortable in your own skin? Do you actually like being you? What's your honest answer? Do you actually like being you? You know, I think we can all pick out things about ourselves that we wish were different. But isn't it also true that we are oftentimes, if not sometimes, downright unkind to ourselves? Yet God makes no mistakes. And you know how he sees you? Well, let's look at Ephesians 2:10 to find that answer. It says that you are his masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the wonderful things he planned for you long ago. Do you believe that? Isn't it something how we wave a truth like that off, like it just doesn't apply to us? We're have-nots. Everybody else is a have. But what if you let that truth sink down deep into your bones? How would it change your perspective and how you show up in relationships, in your workplace every day, in your family, even in your calling? If you really embrace the fact, I'm someone God loves. I'm a masterpiece. He doesn't make junk. And what if you started to be maybe a little more kind to your soul? Well, my first hour guest writes this. She says, all of creation is content to be what it was made to be, except for man. Fish flourishes in water. Ants are not depressed about their size. They're productive, building massive colonies. Yet we waste time aiming at the bullseye on someone else's board, pursuing a race we were never equipped to run. Well, maybe that's you. Maybe you're so focused on living like those around you that you're missing what God intended for you all along. And that is your sweet spot. When you embrace the you God intended you to be and you tend to the things God has given you to do, that's where life happens. That's where joy happens. That's where flourishing happens. Well, Cheryl Martin joins me first hour. We'll talk today about how to discover your unique gifts and your unique purpose of walking closely with God. Then second hour, Holly Girth joins me to talk about the same kind of thing, but embracing the way God has wired you and understanding. One of her books we're covering is You're Already Amazing. And she's got another just great perspective on embracing the you that God intended you to be. Both of these authors, for the most part, have written to women. And I just want to tell you guys, I just love that you listen. I love, love, love that you listen. And we are aiming this conversation at you as well. In fact, I would love a man's perspective, both this hour and next, and what it's like to be you and what are some of the challenges you face to really embrace yourself. The you that God made you to be. Well, I will get Cheryl on in just a moment. I've got a couple of quick announcements here. If you've been listening daily, you know that our Faith Radio Writers Contest is well underway. This is our fourth annual. We'll be taking submissions until the 22nd, so we are on the countdown here. If you've got a dream of being published, this is a great chance to take a giant leap forward with that goal. The information is on our website, myfaithradio.com. The theme this year, redemption. There's a word count and just submission guidelines on the website. As I said, you can choose the fiction, nonfiction track. Really pray that you'll consider taking this giant, wonderful leap of faith. And a handful of you will get to come to our station, to the green room, have a luncheon with the Faith Radio staff, and then enjoy a face-to-face, one-on-one meeting with some editors from Bethany House Publishers. Fantastic opportunity. Secondly, we are partnering with the National Association of Evangelicals in hopes to see 1 million Christians praying together on Sunday, July 10th. You don't have to leave your home church. You don't even have to travel anywhere. We just want to see 1 million Christians mobilized, asking God to bring revival back to our nation. As I said, this initiative is led by National Association of Evangelicals. You can find more information on their website and even register your church or your life group at nae.net. But would you commit to setting aside July 10th to appeal to heaven, appeal to God for the sake of this nation. Man, we desperately need it. Well, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Cheryl Martin devotes her time to writing, speaking, freelance media opportunities, and hosting the weekly radio broadcast, Excellent Living. She has served on the boards of World Vision, ECFA, and Wycliffe Bible Translators. She's the author of two books, Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. That's what we're talking about today. And First Class Single, Rules for Dating and Waiting on God's Way. She's got an influence or page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Cheryl, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Susie, for having me. Thank you.
Looking forward to the conversation. You were in studio with us last time because you were in town for a speaking event, so we're going to have to settle for you on the phone this time. It was so fun having you in studio. But, Cheryl, we love to start our conversations talking Scripture. Wondering if you have a passage you've been thinking about you can share with us these days.
I sure do, and it's taken from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16 in the New Living Translation, and it says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." I thought that was appropriate for our conversation today.
Say a little bit more about what that passage means to you, Cheryl.
Well, what it says, first of all, is that God knew exactly what he was doing when he created each of us. And David is acknowledging this, saying it was God who put us together with just our gender, our intelligence, our looks, our talents and abilities. He was right there in our mother's womb, knitting us exactly as he wanted us. And I love when David said, "You've made all of us wonderfully complex, but not only that, what you made is marvelous." And when we can see ourselves, I like what you told the listeners before, when we begin to see God's workmanship in each of our lives as his distinct mark on us, it's marvelous. He saw us before we were born, but not only that, and I meditate on this a lot, every day of our lives was scheduled before one of them came to be. So that means that nothing catches God by surprise.
Amazing, isn't it? We had a guest on recently, T.C. Stallings. He was one of the leads in the war room opposite of Priscilla Shire, and he camped on that passage and just said it changed everything for him when he thought, you know, the fact that God has a highest and best plan for each of our moments. He said, we better be listening and leaning in and following him because we tend to make our plans and then ask God to bless them. But the fact that he's thought so much about us, that he's planned out our moments, we want to consult with him and go his way, right?
We do, and it's interesting that you brought that up because just last night before I went to bed, a similar thought came to me, which was we spend so much time fantasizing and focusing on our dreams for our lives, our visions, our fantasies, rather than being consumed with God's dreams and fantasies and desires for us. And when we have at the top of our list to focus on and fantasize about our dreams, I have discovered that a lot of times when they are achieved and they were not God's dreams, we're disappointed because the dream does not measure up.
Yeah.
But I have never been disappointed with what God has given me. And typically, it's so much better than what I could have ever dreamed.
What a good word, Cheryl. So glad you brought that up. You know, I was thinking as I was prepping for the conversation today, we can all look back in our past and maybe point to landmark moments when we were first aware of our not enoughness, even though God, you know, has imprinted his image on our hearts and put eternity in our hearts, there's messages that come to us and experiences or people who don't see us through the lens of the Savior, and they send a lying message, and it's like it embeds a lie into our soul. And you share about a little bit of that in your book, Distinctly You, but would you do that us a favor, just so that we can kind of learn from this, just in your own personal life, looking back to maybe a couple of key encounters that told you a different message that other than what Jesus intended for you to hear?
Well, a number of things come to mind, and one was it happened when I was a senior in high school, and that is my senior high AP teacher telling me you can't write, I'm going to give you a C, and if you don't bring your grade up, I will have to take you out of this class. And that emotionally paralyzed me for a season in my life because I'd only made A's and one B in English, and I have these great desires to go to a top school, and here is an adult telling me, you don't have what it takes. And for a period, it really depressed me, and I allowed her words to define me. So that's just one example there. There have also been lulls in my career as a broadcaster where I was in between jobs, and you begin to wonder, you know, do I really have what it takes? What's going on here? Why did that person get picked and I didn't get picked? Where these instances cause me to do a lot of self-examination.
You know, I was thinking, just talking to a friend the other day about, I'm goal-driven and task-oriented, and, you know, if I see an award, and I mean, this is just, I'm trying to think of how to even say this, but remember being in a system where they were giving out awards, and I was young and new in the system, and I thought, oh, it'd be such an amazing thing to win that award. Well, then I got a little more seasoned and found out how they awarded those awards, and it was sort of a club of mutual admiration, you know what I mean, of kind of posturing and people voting for each other kind of a thing. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, why would I waste even a minute of my energy? I mean, and I feel like it's such an example of we esteem sometimes the wrong things and we don't even know how they're just not as they appear. Do you know what I'm saying? Where someone once said man's rejection is oftentimes God's protection. And if we judge things from the outside and we take our cues from, I didn't get that award, I didn't get picked, I must be less than, where little do we know, maybe behind the scenes, it's just all result of posturing and it had nothing to do with your lack, but somebody else's, you know, manipulation or whatever. We've got to be so careful to judge by God's standard and not by what we think we're seeing, by what people are esteeming. That's sort of a long way to say it, but do you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's actually my first distinctly you builder, and it's let God define you. That God is the only person, because he created us, has the right to define us and to even define what success is in our lives. And success is going to look different in each person's life. You know, for example, right before you called, I was looking at the list of the disciples, and I saw that Jesus, you know, spent a night in prayer selecting these guys. Well, as I went down the list, there are a number of them. I don't really know what they did pretty much outside of being selected one of the 12, like Bartholomew, or there was another Judas instead of Judas Iscariot. They were selected by Jesus, just like Peter, James, and John. But God determined before the foundation of the world that their impact was not as public, and we don't know what they did privately. And that's why we have to be very, very careful if we're going to achieve the distinction that God determined for us before the foundation of the world. God, how do you define me? What are you calling me to do? And what do you consider success? That's what I should be aiming for. And that success means not being the best, but doing my best, doing your best, whatever your level of best is.
One thing I love that, Cheryl, you say is that we don't have to be the best to be a success. So let's redefine success from God's standpoint and how it fits us uniquely. Because if we are actually really successful, but we constantly live under the shadow of not being successful because we're not the best at something, boy, we're missing a sweet, sweet part of the journey. Talking to Cheryl Martin today, I've got three copies of Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. If you've got a question about how to land in that place where you accept yourself, you trust God, and you shoot for the goal that he has for you, give us a call, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Cheryl Martin in a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. My guest today is Cheryl Martin, title of her book, Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. We've got three copies to get into your hands today. Maybe you have found a way to embrace the you that God is making you to be, or maybe you haven't and you need some encouragement today. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. If you feel better calling anonymously, please feel free. And guys, I really want to hear from you because I just feel like you have a whole different battle on your hands and you get so often sidelined and diminished. I'd love to hear from you as well. 877-933-2484. Cheryl Martin writes this. Have you ever heard anyone say, "My ultimate dream is to be average"? I haven't. I don't know anyone who's born with a desire to be mediocre or to accomplish nothing in life. If you're like me, you want to stand out, be special, the best you can be, distinctive. Well, that's also God's desire for you. He does nothing haphazard, without purpose. It's all meticulously planned. He determined our looks, personality, heritage, intelligence, and gender. So that means there's something specific he wants you to accomplish as you with your specific blend of abilities. It may take a while to know what that is, to develop it into that you and you to be totally comfortable with your uniqueness. So let's talk about these distinctly you blockers, these things that get in the way. So you talked about one before the break, letting others define you. But another blocker, yeah, you say, is letting you define you. That's really important. I think you should unpack that one more.
Yes, there are times that we have actually decreased our level of desire or what we're aiming for because we don't believe in ourselves, or we have looked at someone else's skill set and we've said, "I don't have that." And so one of the things that I say is, and I learned this the hard way, is just because you're not the best doesn't mean that you don't have a right to be there and that you can't be a success. And what happened in my life when I went on as a freshman at Northwestern University and I was in my major in the School of Speech, Radio, Television, at first I was so excited because I'd had a job in Christian radio part-time in my high school years. Well, when I got there with all these other achievers, I was good, but I was not great. I was good, but I was not the best. And I got discouraged, and I got so discouraged. Now, I was a good student, but I was allowing myself to define me, and I actually transferred out of the School of Speech ready to give up my desire to be a broadcaster because I was not the best. God stepped in, and I interacted with one of the college administrators. One night I was walking on campus, and he asked me how things were going. And when I told him I transferred out of the School of Speech, he encouraged me to get back in and to pursue my goal. And that's when I realized I had allowed myself to define me. I got back in. I thrived in my major. I went on to graduate school and then a successful career in broadcast news. So just because we are not the best doesn't mean we don't have a right to be there and that we can't be a success.
Such an important word, Cheryl. And I'm thinking of how many of us have felt that because we're not the best, we're not a success, we're substandard. Talk about how we can self-sabotage when we get too much into our head about that, because there are times when you're feeling something, then you're acting out on that thing, and you're playing not to lose, as I often say, rather than playing to win. And people who know you are looking around going, you know, there's no evidence to point to what you're saying you feel about yourself. But when we get up in our heads, we can just trip ourselves up. Say a word about that.
Well, the most important conversation that we have every day is the one between our two ears, as Zig Ziglar said. And this is why it is so important to train ourselves to say what God says about us, but also, number two, to constantly examine, is this a God idea or my idea? I spent a lot of time, my mother and I spent a lot of time praying, first of all, to make sure, was it God's will for me to attend Northwestern University in Illinois? Was this his will? Was this particular career path his will? Well, when we have dealt with that and have gotten the answer for whatever it is we are aspiring to do, in other words, did God tell me to start this business? Did God tell me to marry this person? am I doing this as a result of God? When God appeared to Moses with the burning bush, this was a God-ordained mission. It really wasn't about Moses' skill set. And this is what we have to understand. And this is why it's so important to focus on our distinction. Because when God calls us with a specific assignment, it's really not about us, but about Him. And we have a tendency, because we all do it, you know, we size up what we bring to the table versus this person, and then we decide whether or not we're going to go for it based on our marbles. That's not how God decides the assignment or who gets the assignment.
So,
That's why if God gives us the assignment, then I can rest confidently, and this is what I've done all my life. I'll say, you know what, God? You're the one who opened this door, so I am trusting you to give me the wisdom, the knowledge, the funding, everything I need to do this because I am obeying your script. This is not about me. The perfect example of this in the Bible is Gideon. He defined himself as the weakest in the weakest links. You know, my clan is the weakest and I'm the weakest. But the angel came to him and said, mighty warrior, God has a plan for you. This is how God is going to use you. And he says, well, how can I do this? For one reason, God will be with you. So what do we need to understand? God on our side is the game changer. Not my contacts, not if I'm the most intelligent person in the room. Not my finances. God on our side is the game changer. That's what's going to make us distinct.
Can I get an amen, somebody? That just made me very happy. We've got about a little over a minute before a break, Cheryl. But talk to that person who's in their head, and they know they got to get out of their head, but they've been self-sabotaging because of the next blocker, which we'll talk on the other side of the break, but the comparing. They're not the best, but they're still a success. They're still gifted, but they're up in their head. What do you say to them?
Again, I want to encourage them, focus more on reading the scriptures, feeling your mind with what God says about you. Know without a doubt that I don't care what obstacles you faced. I don't care if you're on the poverty line. I don't care if your parents disowned you. I don't care if you're struggling financially. God is aware of all of these things. And when I read the Word of God, it boosts my confidence. When I think about Ruth, who was marginalized, who was a widow, who could have easily chosen to have a pity party because of her circumstances. Mm-hmm. She did not. Instead, she embraced a great God. She decided to take a step of faith and go where she had not gone before. She did all she could do. I'm going to get up and go look for a job, and I'm expecting to land in a field where I will find favor. And look what God did in her life.
Look what God did. Cheryl's book, Distinctly You. Let's take some emails now. Email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Put Distinctly You in the subject line. I cannot talk today. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Three of you will win a copy of Cheryl's book. More with Cheryl Martin when we return. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Cheryl Martin today. She's author of the book, Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. We've got three copies to get into your hands today, so here's how we're going to do it. Email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Put Distinctly You in the subject line. Include your mailing address, like Debbie just did. Thank you, Debbie, for that email. Your name will go in a drawing. Three of you get a copy of this great book. Another line I just loved, you wrote, when we stand before God, He'll only ask about one assignment, the one he gave us. That's so awesome. And I'm going to have you unpack that in a moment, but I want to work through these distinctly you blockers. So we talked about letting others define you. That just keeps us from the best of what God has for us. Even letting us define us, another one. Now, this next one, comparing. You touched on this, but maybe speak more about both comparing and competing.
Yeah, a blocker is those three C's of comparing, competing, and coveting. And Satan loves to distract us with these triplets that lead to three D's, depression, discouragement, and discontentment. When we're constantly looking over our shoulders about someone else's life, what they have accomplished, their gifts and abilities, and we compare what they have with what we have. And I think a good example of this, and this is nothing new, because no one teaches us how to compete. I remember or compare, I started doing this, Susie, as a little girl, when I compared my looks with my brother who was closest to me in age, or I compared how I looked with my mother, because when I looked at her, I did not see her in me. And I was depressed by this, and I think a lot of times when we compare and compete and covet, we don't go around telling people this, but it's evident a lot of times we end up murdering another woman with our words. We can speak negative words about another person, and what's really fueling that? We are competitive with that person. We are coveting what they had. And it can be deadly, and a good example of that in the Bible is the story of Cain and Abel at the very beginning. When both of them presented their gifts to the Lord, God accepted Abel's gift. Why? Because he gave him his best. He did not accept Cain's gift. Now, was it that God didn't want, he preferred livestock over a shepherd's gift over grain? No. Abel gave him his best. Cain did not. And he was so angry that he murdered his own brother physically. So this is what we have to watch out for. The answer is, all we're required to do is to give God our best with what he's given us. Someone is always going to be smarter, richer, younger, prettier. God never compares us with anyone else. He's the one who doled out our abilities and our assignments. That's why when we see the parable of the talents, one got five, one got two, one got one, the first two got the same commendation because they maximized the exact commendation. The person who got one decided to do nothing. He was chastised severely. I think he was upset that he only got one, so he decided not to do anything. And that's what a lot of us do. Well, I'm not as pretty as she is. I'm not as smart, so I'm not going to do anything. Or I don't sing as well as she sings. She has a national recording contract. I'm only singing in my local church. Are you being the best singer you can possibly be in your choir, even if you're never asked to be the soloist? That's what God is looking at.
And, you know, this is something we need to remember, even in light of just in Christianity, it seems like the celebrity culture has infiltrated Christianity, and yet there's no substitute for the power and the presence of God. And if you walk in the fear of the Lord, you can be 100 years old, and God can move through you in a mighty, mighty way. It's not a hip social club. It's not meant to be. I mean, we make it that way sometimes, but God's no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. And I think if we measure our standards alongside with some of the standards we see around us, we miss God's measuring stick and what he's able to do in a heart of faith, you know?
You know, Susie, what really concerns me, I'm glad you brought this up, because I see this infiltrating the church. The whole emphasis on who is a pastor of a mega church and people spouting off how many members we have and what's the point? Because, again, is that really the sign of a healthy church or a successful church in God's eyes? What about a pastor who is so faithful to his congregation in delivering the word effectively every Sunday, and his church is 100 members or 50 members, but here's this other pastor who comes in bragging about how many members he has. There's a scripture that says, what do you have that you didn't receive? When I read Jude is one chapter. It's in the Bible. It is just as effective. Jude wrote what God gave him. So can I say that another book of the Bible is more important or more effective than Jude? Jude did, you know, that book was written and it accomplished what God wanted it to accomplish. So I see the comparison game even in the church, and I also see a level of arrogance over how God has chosen to bless a particular ministry, whereas when we look at the example of Apostle Paul, he said repeatedly, I am who I am by God's grace and God alone. It is God who has appointed this work. It's God who has given this work to me. We should have a spirit of humility that the more God gives us, the more humble I need to become, recognizing it is not of my goodness. It is only the assignment that God has given me. It doesn't make me better than my brother, which is why I love the example of fruit that I give in the book. When I go into the produce section of a store and I look at all the variety of fruit, a watermelon is not a better fruit because it's big. It's just big. I don't compare a raspberry with a strawberry or with a banana. They all have a different taste. What I want fruit to be when I put it in my mouth, I want it to be ripe, and I want it to be succulent. I never compare one fruit with the other. I don't compare a kiwi fruit with grapes. Why do we compare ministries? Why do we compare people? Why do we compare our children? The goal is, if you're going to achieve your distinction, I need to focus on one thing, utilizing and maximizing what the Heavenly Father has given me, because I will have to give an account one day with that assignment, and that's the only thing that will matter. Have I been ripe? Have I been fruitful? Have I been attractive? Am I good? Or do people desire to be like Christ when they interact with me? Am I good tasting? That's the key. That's a mark of distinction.
I absolutely love everything you just said, Cheryl. And I just think that this is such foreign thinking to our contemporary society. And I agree with you and love the words you even brought up about the church. It made me just jump ahead to think about the book of Revelation. And, you know, and the Spirit says to the church, you have an appearance of being alive, but you're dead. You know, strengthen that which remains. And again, if we're judging by appearances, how many times do we read in Scripture that God looks at the heart, that he sees beneath the surface? But everything you're saying about apples and oranges, raspberries and bananas, if we could apply that personally to say, I'm one kind of fruit, I'm one kind of person, and he made me this way. I mean, imagine the fruitfulness of the kingdom if we quit trying to be like everybody else. I mean,
because
I know.
We need each other.
We
need each other. We need each other's distinction. Because you bring something to the table, Susie, that I don't bring to the table. You know, I had the privilege of being at a conference where you were a speaker. Your style, what you brought to the table, was so enriching. But how God has wired you is different than how I'm wired. So we complemented each other, and I can fully applaud your gifts without me walking away saying, wow, I need to be more like Susie. I need to study her. No, I'm there cheering you on because you're in your lane doing exactly what God has called you to do, and you are presenting in the way God has wired you to present. And the women could receive from both of us.
Mm-hmm. And that way, when we receive from each other, Scripture says when you receive a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. You know, and I've read different thoughts on that passage. But in other words, you receiving me and me receiving you, we become benefactors of each other's fruit. But when we're comparing and competing, you know, the Bible says the pure in heart, they're the ones who see God. So if we don't have a pure heart towards each other, we don't even see what God is up to in each other. And you can sure see why the enemy wants to make us all silos versus coming together where we're mutually benefiting from each other's fruit and standing together for the kingdom. I mean, the power of that kind of unity is so significant. Another line you said, sometimes I think we're more impressed with others than we are with God. Again, that's just such a sign of earthbound living. Maybe speak to that person who's never even thought that they actually are doing that, that they're more impressed with people and their accomplishments than they are with God and who he is.
You know, I think if we wake up every day saying, the person I'm only seeking in the way I live my life, God's approval. I read his word. God's word is my standard. Apostle Paul said that often. You know, I had the wonderful privilege of being reared by two godly parents in the inner city of Houston. And I have to say, I never saw or heard my parents ever compare themselves with anyone else. They were so focused in rearing eight children, seven sons and one daughter. They read the word of God and they said, we're going to be focused on rearing you in the way that pleases God. We don't care how anybody else is rearing his or her children. We are going to obey God and leave the obedience of that to God. I've never known my mother to ever compare herself with another woman. Now, these are people who my father was a local barber in the neighborhood. My mother had a beauty shop in the back of the house. I never heard one time they complain about, you know, we need more money. No, we need this. It's like, no, you know what? We believe God. Whatever God wants us to have, God is going to provide. When I wanted to go to one of the top universities, what was the response? We don't have the money, but we know God. That's why one of my distinctly you builders is have a big view of God. If we are totally consumed with us and what we are not, rather than focused on how big God is, I walk around almost every day and I'll say, the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ruth, Esther, David, Daniel, that is my God. He is no respect of person. I'm expecting God to do great things for me. I'm expecting God to open doors that only God can open. Why? Because we are his children, and he delights in giving us great gifts. So a distinctly you builder have a big view of God. I don't walk around with a big view of Cheryl, a big view of God, the God who parted the Red Sea, is ready and waiting to part the Red Seas in our lives. But he can't do it if we're always inward focused or looking on Facebook at what's happening in somebody else's life and being consumed with that. These are all distractions, which is another distinctly you blocker.
Pausing here. When we come back, let's talk about these builders of focus, of limiting our limitations and adjusting our attitude. Maybe we can cover all three of those in this last segment together. Talking to Cheryl Martin today, title of her book, Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Distinctly You in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. And if you've got a question or comment, include that in your email as well. More with Cheryl Martin when we return. Can't get enough of that song. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Cheryl Martin. She's the author of the book, Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. Imagine just shunning comparison competition. Imagine just stopping the looking to the left, looking to the right, the inner dialogue that just constantly defeats you, and instead looking up and saying, God, who'd you create me to be? Will you just start to like yourself, liking the you that God made you to be, and getting a vision for what he's intended you to become? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about, if we can fit these in the next 10 minutes, focus, about limiting our limitations and adjusting our attitude. Cheryl, you write, when your focus is always on what's wrong with you, you diminish what's right about you. No matter how put together we may look on the outside, we all face challenges and roadblocks to being the person we desperately want to be, the person God created us to be. All my life, I've been pressing through the barriers, purposing to never lose hope. I've discovered that God will help us when this is our determined focus. Say more, if you would.
Well, if we're going to be the distinct woman that God wants us to be, we've got to focus on God's leading. Yet we live in a culture that really wants to drown out God's voice. But how will we know our distinction unless we tune into frequency WGOD? Jesus was extremely focused. He's our example. He came here, his distinction, his one focus. And he said constantly, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. And there would also be times he would say, you know what? God didn't call me to judge that particular situation. He knew who he was. He knew what he was supposed to do. And he stayed in his lane. And so if we're going to be a person of distinction, the inner ear must always be tuned to, God, what are you saying about this? You know, what is your viewpoint on this? I know what others are saying I should do. And you know what? I had to do this when I was selecting which graduate school to go to. And I had been admitted to two schools. And I had to let them know where I was going to attend. I knew the school that I wanted to go to, which was Columbia University. And I remember getting in the middle of my bed and I said, Lord, you know what my preference is and you know why. But more importantly, I really want to be in your will more than anything else. And if you reveal your will to me, I will follow your path. And I'm not going to argue about your decision, because more than anything else, I want your will more than my way. When I got quiet in my spirit, the Lord so quietly said to me, Northwestern. I didn't want to go there for graduate school, because, you know, I'd been there undergraduate. But when the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I experienced such peace, and I never once doubted that decision. I am so glad I listened, Susie, because one decision can totally change the course of your life, and this is in the book how this came to be, but as a result of me going to that particular graduate school, that was the year that NBC News contacted the school to say, would you recommend several of your top students to be considered for our NBC News Associates program? Well, they didn't contact Columbia University.
Wow.
I was one of the students selected and hired by NBC. Who could orchestrate that but God? But I'm so glad that someone had told me that the most important thing I can do is focus on hearing God's voice and then obeying it. Why? Because he promised to guide us along the best pathway for our lives.
You know, I've had similar situations like that where just leaning on my understanding, it just made sense to go this way. But to pause and say, I really mean this, Lord, I want to hear your way. And the peace
exactly.
of God pointing me in a different direction. And then you get through it and you look back and you think, wow, what he saved me from and what he established me for. He's
yes.
so very good. Well, talk about limiting your limitations.
Well, first of all, everyone has strengths. Everyone has limitations. So what we have to do is limit our limitations and work around them. I did a talk one time and I said, you know, I love cherries, but in every cherry there is a pit.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned is I work around the pit. So you look at what are the things that I can change. And if I can change those, that's what I do. Perfect example, I needed braces. My teeth were crooked. I didn't really focus on this limitation until I was in college. And when I realized, you know, how you look plays an important role when you're on camera. And I told my mother I wanted braces. Well, at that time, she was working a job where she could assist me. So what did I do? I said, I need to get my teeth ready for TV. And I got braces my sophomore year in college. And they came off about a week or two before I graduated. That's what I did. I looked at that limitation, and I said, this is something I can fix. So you change what you can change, and that you can't, you make the most of it. And one of the examples I give in the book is Laura Hillenbrand, the best-selling author who suffers from chronic fatigue syndrome. Yet she has gone to write bestsellers, and her books have turned into movies, Unbroken and Seabiscuit. She works with her limitations. She's not able to travel to do our interviews. She will do them by phone when she feels great that day. She puts in the amount of work. But she didn't sit back and say, oh, I guess my dream is dashed because I have chronic fatigue syndrome. She's focused on being an excellent researcher. And I'm wondering if she would have had those same researching skills if she wasn't latent with chronic fatigue syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Work around the limitation. Limit the limitation.
Excellent. Let's talk for a moment. We just got about 2.5 minutes before we pray, but to say a word about adjusting our attitude, especially as it relates to even when God gives us a dream, it oftentimes plays out different, Cheryl, than we think. And so somehow letting, you know, God establish our steps, letting God redefine and readjust as we go. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Well, even when God gives us the dream, like you said, many times we can get busy assuming how it's going to play out. And I have discovered, and I have to do this constantly, relinquish my script, even relinquish my script of how God is going to work something out, because we need to be flexible. God seldom works the way that we imagined. So we have to really rein in our imagination. As it says in Corinthians, cast down vain imaginations. You know, remember Naaman in the Old Testament got really frustrated because he assumed that the prophet was going to come out there, meet him personally, lay hands on him. He didn't do any of that. He told him to go dip in this dirty river. He almost missed his blessing. He had to readjust his attitude because God was going to use a different mechanism, a different source, to bring about his healing. So we need to have a high expectation that God is going to work, but not have expectations as to how he's going to do it.
Beautiful. That's perfect. What a good note to end on. Cheryl, I do love the gift of God in you, and I love how he made you, and I love that he's just so fearful and wonderful the way he makes each of us so different, and there's work for us to do. Just really honor that in you, Cheryl. I wonder if you'd pray for that person listening today, who's sensing the invitation to trust God for how he made her, how he made him.
Lord, we are so thankful that you are sovereign and that you've made each one of us wonderfully complex. You were watching when we were born. You determined our gifts, our abilities, our looks, our gender, our race, all those things. So I pray for my brothers and sisters who have been struggling in this area. Lord, I pray that they will, from this day forward, begin to see themselves as your designer original, that they would focus on how big you are in spite of their circumstances, in spite of their pain, in spite of their rejection, that you are still able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Lord, I pray that from this day forward, they would let you define them. They would not allow themselves to define them, so they will not dream and have a lesser dream than what you want them to have. Lord, let them remember to seek your approval above all, so when we all stand before you, we will get the same commendation. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Mm. Amen. Cheryl, thank you for joining us again today. God bless you, dear sister.
Thank you, Susie, for having me. God bless.
Always good to talk with you. Hey, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, a podcast will be up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next for Hour 2, Holly Girth joins me. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.